Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Football, what the hell?
It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And it falls upon Vishal to do the tough job of breaking the Manchester Derby down for us on this regular podcast episode. But before we go there, Vishal, we are of course heading into another international break. Womp womp.
No, I'm glad.
The international break could not have come at a better time for Manchester United. Aside of that, some interesting goings on in the Premier League itself. We just today got the news that Fulham are appointing a certain Claudio Ranieri to be their manager. which is a point that actually we'll bring into the discussion a little later on, the odds of United winning the league or not winning it. The title race remains as tasty as ever because Chelsea drop points against Everton. I mean, incidentally, this is the first time a top six team has dropped home points, or rather, top team has dropped home points against non-top six opposition this season. Just shows you how tight it has been. Elsewhere, Arsenal fell a little off the pace because they drew quite a creditable draw in the end because they were behind for a long, long time and were out of the game really for a long, long time. And we had Tottenham managing to pull off a rather impressive win against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, not the easiest place to go and win. And all that leaves us with, of course, Liverpool expectedly won their game too. Wasn't too difficult, except for the fact that this was a team who have only won 5 points in the entire 12 games they've played so far. So, really did not stand a chance. But all that eliminates the rest of the results, Vishal, and brings us to the one that we need to talk about. Predictable as it may have been, you had called it out during our preview. It's Manchester City 3, Manchester United 1 at the Etihad. I mean, for a time it looked like Manchester United were actually in the game, but did they flatter to deceive, or was that just another of Guardiola's tricks to just let you know that he could do whatever he wants?
It was really, I think City had a handle on 4 goals. United would not have scored a goal if not for the penalty conceded by Ederson. So 2 games in a row, he's done that. By the way, he's close to getting an axe, I'm pretty sure.
Or maybe Ederson was secretly instructed by Guardiola to inject some excitement into the game.
Absolutely. I do not know what and how United set up. The minute I saw the midfield, when he put Fellaini, Matic and Herrera together in the central midfield, you knew this game was not going anywhere good. And you knew that they had no intention of trying to really play Manchester City or try to Manchester City run, but we're trying to do a job where they almost try to absorb 90 minutes of pressure and possibly score one goal. But what they did not realize is Pep Guardiola saw this coming from a mile away, and Pep Guardiola obviously decided to use speed as opposed to United's midfield, which is slow, which is weak, which is not winning most of the balls in the air. And it was actually a very, very it was a pitiful performance. Like, as frustrating as it has been, I think this was the most frustrating. I mean, like, I've seen United put in some stinker performances, but this, the, just the sheer lack of trying, the fact that Rashford or Martial would pick up the ball in this closer to their own penalty box and run towards the central and say, the central midfield and lose the ball because they had narrow pass to make. And if you're a top club, if you're a top manager, I do not think this is a way to set up to start with. And this is when you still have players. Like, you bought in a player like Fred who can play midfield, who can possibly be the link between defence and midfield, but you did not give him a start and you decided to bring on players again in the say, ASS and minute after you're trying to catch up. That does not work every game. Like, he tried to pull a Juventus against Manchester City. The only difference being that when United scored, Juventus bottom Barzagli and Manchester City bottom Sane. So
there's a difference. There's the difference right there. Talking about that parallels to that Juventus game and the fact that United were missing Paul Pogba for this game, that's where somebody like a Fred could have filled in a gap, albeit more defensively.
Also, now, I think this was also a massive point for Pogba, without him really saying anything in terms of how much he means to the United team, and also to all the critics who really go on and on about what he does not do and what he does not add. You could clearly see what he does do and what he does add to this United team, because it was exactly what was missing. As in, they had zero creativity, they had zero power, they didn't have one player who wanted or who was seeking the ball out of pressure moments and who had the confidence to really pick up the ball and run at Manchester City. So, I think this was Pogba in his absence making a point saying, listen, this is how much you all need me to. And honestly, it showed very clearly. And Mourinho got it wrong. Like, Mourinho has got it wrong a few times, but has never got it more wrong. And my problem with the fact is that he read the UA result the wrong way, right? Like, he really read, while yes, it was a stroke of genius with the substitutions, but it also was circumstantial in the fact that UA did not take the chances and UA made a couple of mistakes, but he almost gave himself too much credit and expected him to pull off the same job against ruthless Manchester City and not with this squad, not with this manager. Like, there is a reason why Pep Guardiola is considered the best in the world right now, and he showed it. Like, he was absolutely, he came there to do a job, and I'm guessing most top teams are counting on United to pull a job, but I think City themselves, without taking anything away, made a massive statement in terms of how good they're going to be this season.
And since you mentioned ruthless, we have to mention what happened post-game when Pep Guardiola tore into Raheem Sterling, I think, yeah. for something that happened right at the end, or?
Absolutely. So, Raheem Sterling could have actually made a pass earlier and should have created a clear opening for Manchester City. Instead, he chose to dwell on the ball and did a few step-overs, and Pep Guardiola did not want to wait for the dressing room to address that. He went at him right there on the ground, saying, "You did it too much, and you should not have. You should pass the ball quicker."
And this is incredible. This is coming off the back of a dominant 3-1 win against your cross city rivals. Huge game. So shows the mindset they are into, which means this 2-point gap between Manchester City and Liverpool is. On paper, it's a 2-point gap. I keep mentioning on my Twitter feed, I'm giving a running count of what the magic number for Liverpool is. Basically, in my calculations, it's just that we have to win all the remaining games, which is 26 games right now.
And like, Paul Scholes made a massive point that he feels like after the Arsenal invincible, this is the first time he's looking at a team and actually thinking, okay, maybe this team can go a season unbeaten. And it's very hard to argue because of their approach, because their game management, their style of play, everything is on point at this point in time. They have not let they have not let their guards down for a minute against the top teams, against the lower half of the teams. And being so efficient that they were.
And this is the incredible bit, that against the lower half teams, against the relatively weaker teams, they have not just won, they have won incredibly well, which is something they did not necessarily do last season. And last season was a record-breaking season, so I mean.
Exactly. So the way they are going right now, they will beat all of last season's records if they continue the pace they're going. Be in terms of goals scored, in terms of points scored, both records are on path to be broken. So while there's still a long way left in the season, but the way they are approaching the season, I think this is going to be another incredible season.
And like a fellow Liverpool fan on Twitter at Abstract Opinion pointed out that this could be a season where multiple teams could go unbeaten and yet not win the league. I mean, which is unprecedented that you could go as an invincible team and not win the league because the other invincible team is just way better.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was discussing with one of my fellow Liverpool friends as well. And you were discussing, talking about how this is Liverpool's golden chance to win the league this year. But it's just unfortunate that it's they have City ahead of them and not possibly another team. And because on any other team, by now Liverpool should have ideally broken away in as a clear leader on top. But this season is turning out to be a stellar cracker of a season with Manchester City setting benchmarks every week.
This is like preparing for the cat for the entire year and then sitting with the brightest possible batch that could come and appear for cat.
Absolutely that.
So we'll keep a track of this ongoing entrance exam for Liverpool and of course the rest of the teams. Meanwhile, that's all the time we have for the pod this week. Before we wrap this thing up, Vishal, we know that obviously Manchester United will be a topic of discussion going forward as well, and much as you would rather not, but we will have to keep revisiting this topic and discuss. Next year is an important milestone in the sense that next year would mark, technically the end of David Moyes' original contract. Within which all this has happened. As things are going, I mean, it's conceivable to say that United would remain without a league. And that's why I said that we'll talk about United's odds of winning the league eventually at some point. But, I mean, let's face it, they're more likely than not to do it. Also, they might land up a trophy or two otherwise, but that would be surely a time for reckoning in the summer of 2019. Where does Manchester United, the institution, want to head from there?
I think Gary Neville makes a great point. This is not just about the management. This is not just about the style of football or the manager or the style of football. It's about United, the football club, right? Like, for it to go so wrong and for it to be so... the priorities at Manchester United are not necessarily being successful as a football club in terms of championships at this point in time, but in terms of delivering numbers and being a successful business. And Woodward has done a great job. Like, you have to give him credit that in spite of not being a successful team possibly in the last 8 to 10 years, now close to about 6, 7 years now, we've still managed to be a successful football business. And well, that's good, but let him take care of that. But United needs a complete revamp. United really needs to bring in a director of football who, one, understands the game and understands what the game requires and how a football club should function. And he should, and football, and ideally the PSO family should completely step out of the functioning and let the experts run it. Because at this point in time, because even if they remove Jose Mourinho, they're going to bring in another manager and it's going to be another short-term fix. And so, which is not the solution. And if United really need to relook at all of it, including Woodward as a problem at this point in time, because I'm not saying he needs to leave the club, but I think he needs to possibly put out of looking into the football matters of the club and bring in a director of football, and that approach really needs to come in with United, because you need to understand that we are also becoming an unattractive destination at the time, because not only are we not winning, but we also seem to be getting into the habit of firing managers. So it becomes an attractive destination more and more as time goes. So it's a very, very crucial summer that's coming.
I mean, sort of like Chelsea, but without the trophy cabinet. At least for the last 6 years anyway. And of course, it could mean that eventually an Arsenal-like reinvention might be required of what Arsenal did in the early 90s and then through the mid-90s, which made them such a force to reckon with leading up to the early Wenger era.
We have all the right ingredients right there. One, there is no shortage of talent in the current squad. There is no shortage of money. There is no shortage of ambition. It's just... one, you need 2 to 3 people, one at the helm of the club in terms of the person leading the football club, and 2, the coach in terms of what he wants out of the football club. Right? Like United, I'm sorry, but Jose Mourinho is not a Manchester United manager. We need a manager who understands the ethos of the club and who understands that he is not the club and the club is what makes him who he is. So at this point in time, just the attitude of Jose Mourinho, where when things go wrong, he blames somebody else, and when things go right, he likes to steal the limelight completely. And the Juventus game was a complete display of that exactly. So we need somebody to, one, understand this football club, understand what this football club is made of, and represent the club the way it's supposed to be. So that needs to be looked at.
Okay, and we will find out if that is looked at. Of course, like we said, this is a topic that will be endlessly revisited throughout the season. And of course, what a season this is turning out to be. We are only entering the real meat of the season now, because the next month and a half is going to be absolutely crazy after this next international break. And we'll be bringing you all of that. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can find us on Audioboom, on audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. Otherwise, you can subscribe to us on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. That's it for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Thank you, guys.
You can still continue the prayers, though.
Yep.
See you guys next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.